Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it might be a little bit different than what your pew Bibles are or your Bible. And Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount: "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Let's pray. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will hear your word this morning, that we will be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been on a bland diet, a low sodium diet? How many's done that? Nobody? Come on. Doctors never told you to cut out salt. Food tasted right? Without salt, it tastes like I know we use, you can use pepper, and I've learned to use pepper in my life and more pepper than salt, and learned to eat hot stuff, actually, hotter food than I used to eat, just because salt's not necessarily good for me. Well, no, it's not good for me. So, salt, it brings flavor to food. We know that. But it does more than that. In Roman times, it was a preservative. You see, when they took meat and they would keep it in a bunch of salt, the salt would draw out all the moisture. And where there's no moisture, there's no bacteria to grow. And therefore, the meat lasted longer. I don't know if anybody's eaten beef jerky. You put that on the countertop, it'll stay there for months and still be good. Still be hard to chew. So when we put salt and we introduce salt into something, it influences it. It changes it. Of course, Jesus told us that salt, that we are the salt of the earth. And I think that not necessarily that we should be a preservative, but something, we are something that changes society. We are something that changes the world. We need to influence the world that we've been put into. I think too many times we as Christians have hidden. We have drawn from society, created our own society, and said, okay, the world's on their own. Let's not get in there. I've had conversations with people say, well, I'm not in the world. We see that we as Christians speak a different language, don't we? Think about some of the words we use commonly. You say, glory. Glory to God. Well, we know what that means, but does the world know what that means? But it's not only our voices, our words, it's what we do. But to be a good influence in this world, we must first be influenced by God. We can't just go out there on our own power, our own might, our own strength, our own wisdom. Okay? Is that this mic? I've preached where we hear a boom and everything goes dead before. So, I'm going to turn this off, Greg. It might be this. Okay. I'll just talk louder. How's that? So, we need to be influenced by God. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tells us this: "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes this: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you." We have to prepare our hearts and our minds to go out and influence the world. We have to be prepared. So how do we prepare? How do we go about this preparation? How do we be that salt? Well, the first thing is we need to be obedient to God. Like the Proverbs scripture said about being obedient to your father, to listening to them, to your parents. We need to listen to God. Not necessarily a book that someone wrote. We need to get into the scripture ourselves. We need to read, study, meditate on that word. That's one, and we need to think about things that are good. I read this scripture over and over, and I read it again, and this thought came to me. You know, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy and praise. Well, what in this world is like that? God. We need to think about God. Focus. Fix our thoughts on Him and Him alone. So, to be salt of the earth, we need to be obedient to God. Being salt means we need to influence each other. Christians need to influence each other. Too many times, the old saying goes, is in Christianity, they're the only people that crucify their wounded. Those who have problems, those who have issues, those who fell down in their sin. And too many times we judge, but we're not called to judge. We are called to love, to lift up. Romans 14:13, Paul wrote this: "So let's stop condemning each other. Instead, to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall." Our lives, our Christianity, our love needs to be seen through our actions, not just our words. We need to lift each other up, not cause someone else to stumble. I know of people, and I've talked with people that have been hurt by a church and never returned to church, and are very reluctant to return to any church because of what Christians did to them. So we need to love each other, lift each other up, strengthen each other. Because I can guarantee you the world is not going to do that. We can see over and over again that the world is there to tear us down, to tear us apart. Having influence in the world doesn't mean that we think like them or act like them. Romans 12:2, Paul writes this: "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Transforming us, not listening, not copying what the world does. We look at what's going on, and I don't know how many of y'all on Facebook, but I'm on Facebook, and you just read or just look at the news. How many times have you watched the news and have seen the anger in people? And you've seen anger on both sides of the aisle. You've seen anger in Christians, news reports the anger. This is what the world does. This is how the world feels. But what does God call us to do? How do we influence our world? How do we be that salt? To influence the world, we must live a humble life. Not a life full of pride. Look what I can do. Look what I did. Look what, you know, I'm this good. I'm better than that guy. No, God calls us to a humble life. James 4:7 tells us, so humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If I said to you and asked you this question, do you know a humble servant? Do you know someone who is very humble or has been humble? Does someone come to mind right away? I think of Mother Teresa. I guess she's a saint now. I don't know. I lost track of that. But I think of Mother Teresa and the fact that she lived the most humble life. She gave of herself, her possessions. I remember a favorite story of mine that the Pope gave her this limousine or this big fancy car. I can't remember which it is. She sold it and gave the money to the orphanage or to the mission in Calcutta. She had no use for that. That's something that's prideful. She was a humble woman. So as we influence, as we live out a humble life, people will look to us. Just like you remembered somebody, you had a name, and your mind pop up when I talked about someone humble. Might have been someone in this church. Might have been someone in your neighborhood. Might have been someone from where you worked. Might have been anybody, a family member. So as we are humbly walking through this world, influencing our world, and my world is different from yours. I got different neighbors. I got different friends. Not only are we salt, but we are also light. As we influence, we guide. We are the light of the world. A light will illuminate, and I don't know if you've ever been down to Luray Caverns, and they take you into that room, and they turn out all the lights, and it's pitch black. You can't see your hand before your face. And then you light a match, and that match is so bright. But if you would light a match in this room, it's already illuminated by artificial light, it wouldn't make that much difference. But the world is dark, and it grows darker and darker. So the world needs us to be the light, to guide them to our Savior Jesus. Psalm 37, verses 5 through 6. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. In Proverbs 4:18, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines even brighter until the full light of day. As light, we give hope. I remember when I used to work third shift at Letterkenny, we would go out right about the time dawn happened just to see the sunrise. After a long night, it just kind of woke you up. It's like, yes, I don't know if it's because we got excited because we knew that the end of the day was coming. We get to go home. Or just the fact that you see the sun popping up and feel its warmth. There are some beautiful sunrises for those of us who wake up early enough to see them. And think about what they do. They warm you. The world can be cold. It can be cold outside. And then once that sun pops up and starts shining on you, Yeah, the temperature hasn't changed much, but you still feel its warmth. It has changed your world. As a light, we guide people to hope. In this world where there is no hope, we guide people to hope. FDR said in his inaugural speech, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Are we living in fear? I mean, this is in the society we live in today, we're living in fear. We're living in the middle of a pandemic. We're living in the middle of riots in certain cities. So there's fear. And do we show others the hope that we have? Do we have that hope? It's important for us to show others the hope that we have. I've done many funerals in my career as a pastor. And I've always heard people say, "I don't know how people would get through this if they don't have Jesus. If they don't have that hope." I remember one funeral, especially it was for a five-year-old that was killed in an automobile accident. It transformed South County. Matter of fact, it created a new law in Maryland. And we offer hope. The family has hope because of Jesus Christ. They had pain. They still have pain. But there's hope in Christ. The hope that one day we'll see our loved ones again. The hope that we will live in eternity. This life we're living here now is just a blink of an eye compared to forever. So when we have this hope, when we are that light of hope, we change our world. But do we? Do we live like we have hope? Have we allowed the world's worries, the world's fears creep into our lives? That's something to think about. When we think about a pandemic and wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Should I go to places? Should I go to church? Should I go shopping? Should I do this? Now, there are some of us that have to be cautious because of our health. We wear a mask because we have other health conditions. But we don't wear it out of fear. Some people wear it out of fear. Fear that they may catch something. Fear that they may die. Well, death should not be a fear of ours. Should be a time that we look forward to seeing Jesus. Because we know our loved ones, those who have died in Christ, are there. And it'll be a great reunion. But we need to live like we have hope. And it'll radiate from us. Moses, when he went, he came down from the Mount Sinai. In Exodus 34, it talks about he was carrying the two tablets. And his face was shining because he spoke with God. He was transformed. His face was shining. So much that the Israelites went, "Okay, we'll take a step back." But I think of the Ten Commandments, I think of Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments, and Charles Heston holding those big, coming down the mountain. But they didn't show the glory of God on his face. They made his hair gray. That was about it. But it was much more than that. He radiated. And we can radiate. God's glory can reflect in each one of us. That is how we are the light of this world. You see, Moses had that relationship with God. He was close to God. God called him for a purpose. But we need that hope. We need to have that strong hope in our hearts, because if we don't have the hope in our hearts, we can't share that hope with others. For those in the world that don't know God, we are that shining representative of Him. 1 John 4:12 tells us, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us." You see, it's our love that changes the world. Not our hate, not our anger, but our love. I remember, okay, we're going back decades, because Burl told me this. I was having trouble with a friend. And he told me this. He says, "It is not our job to judge. It is our job to love. The Holy Spirit will convict. We are to love." Is that how we live our life? Do we treat each other in love? Do we treat the world in love? There's many Christians that post on Facebook anger, hatred, disdain for those who don't believe like they do, for those who don't live like they do. Not our job. We cannot be the light of the world and be condemning the world. Even Jesus, when He came to this world, did not come to condemn. He came to save. He came to save the world. So we must love others like God has loved us. That is how we be the light. That's how we can be the light in the world. We can show them a better way, that life of love. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 and 6. "For you are all children of the light and of the day. We do not belong to the darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." We are called to love the world the same way God loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Father, I pray that each one of us, that Your love will abound in our lives, that Your love will shine through us like a great beacon in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.